But if you will, turn with me here to Judges chapter 1, starting with verse 12. We stand for the reading of God's word. And Caleb said, "He that smiteth Kirjath Sephir and taketh it, to him will I give Aksa, my daughter, to wife." And Othniel, the son of Zenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it, and he gave him Aksa, to his daughter, to wife. And it came to pass, when she came to him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field. And she lighted off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, "What wilt thou?" And she said unto him, "Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water." And Caleb gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. This Wednesday night, we were talking about blessings. And it's interesting here that Aksa here, she says, she comes up there and she says, "Give me a blessing. Give me a blessing." And if you're in Christ, you've already been blessed by receiving the grace of salvation. Yet how many of you have not asked to receive grace to live that Christian life that God intended for each of us to live? I mean, hasn't God promised to give us living waters so that we may never thirst? Hasn't Jesus Christ invited us to come to Him and drink so our hearts will be flowing with living rivers, rivers of living water? Rivers of living water that should flow from you, from Him to you. If you remember what Jesus said there in John 7:37, He said, "In that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried," and He wasn't crying boo-hoo, all right? He's crying with a loud voice is what He means here, right? And He says here that Jesus cried there, and He said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Amen. Right on cue. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There comes of living waters. Amen. But He said, "He spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on Him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus had not yet glorified." And can't you see the comparison from what we just read there in Judges chapter 1? There's a comparison here we ought to see. I hope you see the parallel here. There's a bride that's going through her husband, right, her future husband, to go to the father to say, "Give us a field, give me a field." She's asking for that. And we are the church, we are called the bride of Christ. And we are to pray to the Father through Christ. And of course, the field out there, the Bible says in Matthew 13:38, is the world. God is giving us a field out there to work in. Each one of us. And you should be asking for a field in this world that you can harvest for the Lord's glory. Jesus said in John 4:35, "Say ye not ye, that there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." And I think a lot of times we look out here in the field that out and say, "Oh, it's so dry, it's so hard out there. It's just almost like a desert out there, the people's hearts." Yet you know what? There is a harvest out there. There's some people out there, there's plenty of people out there who are looking for the truth. They're looking for something out there. And God has given us a field that needs the Holy Spirit of God and His Word. And Aksa here, she was bold. She went right up there to her father and she said, "Bless me! Give me a blessing! And also give me springs of water!" And what does this world need more than anything be able for us to bring in a harvest that's profitable unto the Lord? You know what? Same thing she needed. Water. We need water out there. I mean, she did not just need mere water just to satisfy our thirst for temporarily. We need a supply of ongoing need of water, a spring of water out there. A spring that is perpetual, eternal, and ever flowing. And she is making a definite request according to the will of God. And remember, we've talked about prayer, making requests that line up with the will of God. See, her field is no good without water. And she didn't come in to say, just make some general request, right? But she's like a business person. She goes right up, she says, this is what I need, this is what I have to make this work. And she's not out there making some little pretty speech that sounds really nice or anything like that. Sometimes I think that's what we do in prayer. Instead of being specific on what this is what we need, God, we just make a pretty little speech up and call it a prayer. But she went to the Father. She didn't go to some stranger to find the answer for what she needed. Her Father asked, what will thou? Isn't that what Jesus Christ mentioned several times in the New Testament? What will thou? And she says, give me a blessing. Give me more. I want more of your blessing. I want more of your will in my life. Didn't that sound like the prayer of Jabez? Remember him? He come to God. He says, bless me. I want a blessing, God. Give me one. And every blessing is like a bunch of eggs, just waiting to hatch to make more blessings to me. There. So there's a whole brood of possible blessings that comes out of the blessings that God gives to each and every one of us. And she is saying, it would be a shame not to finish what you have begun. You gave me a field. What good is it without your blessing? And God is giving us the field to work in, but it's no good without His blessing. I can't just do it with just mere water. I have to have living water from Him to do what I need to do. Springs of water. She does not just merely need water that cannot supply her ongoing need. She needs a spring of water, a spring that is perpetual, eternal, and ever flowing. Amen. You know, and the Father gave her more than what she asked. He gave her two springs, right? She asked for one, He gave her two. Doesn't that sound just like God? Remember what it says over there in Ephesians 3:19-21? And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. That's where He wants you to be. He wants you to have the fullness of God in you. Amen? Not just a little bit, just enough to kind of get me through until Wednesday night or Wednesday night, enough to get me until Sunday. He wants you to have the fullness of God. And look what it says. And now, unto Him that is able, He's able, right? To do it exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we're able to ask or even think. Man, that's a dynamite verse, is it not? You know, to the power that worketh in us, that power of Christ that's in you, the Holy Spirit of God that's in you. He's able to, I mean, that is just a fantastic verse. You have to go back and just read it again. I mean, over and above, more than you can even think, even more than you can even think. Right? Amen? You know the Father? Do you know you daily need a refreshing supply of water your Heavenly Father can give you? And when the last time was asked, when was the last time you asked Him? Give me also water! Give me a spring of water! When did you ask for that? When was the last time you prayed for Him to fill you, to have the fullness of God in you? For those who know Christ, we are saved by faith through grace by the Heavenly Father. But yet, He wants us to continually seek Him and His will for our lives. He wants to be filled with His Spirit so that we might receive those springs, right? This necessary supply of water that we might be saturated and to be satisfied. You know, we will never reach a dry and dead world out there without those living waters. If we don't have the living waters, how are we going to refresh the world out there that's dying without Christ, like a desert out there? If we ourselves have all been dried up and are not filled with the Holy Spirit of God in us, how can rivers of bubbling water come up out of us, continue flowing from us? How can that be in this dry, thirsty world? Well, first of all, we need to live by God's grace. We need to live on dependency with Him. Are His mercies to us in Christ, are they not renewed new every morning? Were our Heavenly Father who gave us Jesus Christ not graciously give us all things also? Give me a blessing, Lord. Give me also springs of water, living water. Honestly, I see too many Christians out there, you know, whose lives are not flowing with living water. And I imagine you too, right? You've probably noticed people, they just don't seem to have it. And I know there's times that we fall, we fail, we mess up, we collapse, we struggle. But for Christian, you know, our lives shouldn't be a continually desert all the time. You know, if that's the case, let me give you a challenge. You know, go and ask Him, give me rivers of living water. Give me those springs of water. Bless me, God. I mean, we all enter into Christ's life when drunk with the living waters by faith in God's Word. We need His Word. You know, if we neglect to return to the Bible, which the Holy Spirit wrote of Him, we're going to be dry. You know, it says in Colossians 3:16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Are you spending time in God's word daily? Like a tree planted by the rivers of water? The word of God is so important in us being filled with the Spirit of God in our lives. Perhaps you have left the world but got too busy. You've neglected your time in the word of God. And your prayer, how about prayer in your life? We haven't been bold like Asca here. You know, we didn't ask our Heavenly Father for what we needed. We've become blind to our need. We neglect to ask our Heavenly Father what is our birthright. We have a birthright as children of God. We do not ask our Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit of God, to guide us and to teach us. You know, we can think we can get all we need at salvation. I know we've been saved by grace. Amen. Glory to God. We've been justified for all time. But our life is to be continuously drinking of that living water. And if we're not doing it, we're going to dry up. I mean, come on. No wonder we have so many parched and dry, barren places out there. Apart from the living water, it's only natural for complaining and whining and hopelessness and despair just to come flowing out of us instead of God's Holy Spirit, right? We need to have refreshing, reviving, renewing streams of God's Holy Word, God's Holy Spirit coming from us. No wonder our outlook as believers are so often different. It's no different than the unbelievers. No wonder why unbelievers can't understand when we're talking and telling them, hey, let me just taste how good God is. And all it's coming from us is stream of bitterness and selfishness and joylessness. I mean, come on, do I really want something like that? That's what they're going to be thinking. We're supposed to be preaching the good news of joy to all nations. And what kind of joy are we experiencing if we're dry and all dried out? You know, many are not drinking the living water as they ought to. How sad when the Heavenly Father has given us a ready, steady, it's available to anybody and to everybody who wants it. You know, we're not being like Asca here. We're not being bold. We're not going back to our Heavenly Father and asking what you need and what He wishes to give to you. See, will you not go to Him and ask? I'm thirsty. Give me a blessing, God. Bless me. And also give me springs of water, living water. Amen. I can't help but believe that Jesus is weeping over much of the church today when he looks out there and see what the church is going, just like he did over Jerusalem, where he says there in Luke 19, and when he has come near, he beheld the city and he wept over it, saying, if thou had known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thy eyes. Man. Kid, you can't even think and imagine the things that he has for you, amen? And he said, but they're hid from you. That's why he's telling them, the city of Jerusalem. He says, I've got all this stuff for you. I brought and offered it. And what, they couldn't see it? Excuse me. And we as a church, we're the same way. We can't see all the things that God has given and wants to give to us. And Jesus freely offers living water to all of us. He died so we may drink of him. Yet many times we actually do not drink of him. We don't go there. How often do we depend? We go somewhere else. Oh, if I just go down there and get the Pastor Rick Warren's latest book, I guess that might be my answer. We go down to the bookstore down there and say, yeah, he's been writing lots of them back there. You didn't know about that? Right? Hey, but I just go to the bookstore and I'll find the next religious book that I need to get, right? Or if I just had that religious experience, you know, if I was able to speak in tongues or had some other saw images of God or things like that. My toast should show something. You know, some experience. No, that's not what we need. You know, listen to what it says here in Isaiah. We're looking in all the wrong place, but look what Isaiah 55, I'll read to you in verses 1, 2, and 3. It says here, lo, everyone that is thirsty. Let me whistle. He says, everyone that is thirstiest. He says, are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? Are you really thirsty for the Holy Spirit of God? Are you really thirsty out there? You know, you ever been out there where you've just been dry? I remember working out there in the hay fields. Man, you are getting so thirsty. You say, man, I've got to have a drink of water. And they had one big old pitcher of water. We'd all drink out. I didn't care who the other person was that drank on it before me. I was ready for some water, amen. He says, lo, you who are thirsty. Are you thirsty out there? He says, lo, you are thirsty. Come you to the waters. I mean, that's where you need to go, right? Go to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye and buy and eat. Yay, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. In other words, if you don't have any money, you can still get it. He'll give it to you. You can say, I'm so desperate, I'm so broken, I'm so despaired, I don't have anything left to give. He says, come, you're thirsty, come on into me, amen. Come on. You don't have to have anything, I'll give it to you. Right? He said, wherefore do you spend money on that which is not bread? Lines up with the Word of God, the bread of life, amen. Why are you spending on things that aren't holy and to God things? You spend money on all kinds of things. Just like that boat he was talking about, right? Right? And you labor for that which satisfieth not. Are you working out there and you feel like you have no satisfaction in your life? No satisfaction at all? He says, hearken then. Hearken diligently unto me. Listen. He said, eat that which is good and let your soul delight itself in fatness. He says, incline your ear. Come unto me. Hear. And your soul shall live. Amen. Did you hear that? God wants you to live. See, you're not going to really live if you're not drinking the living water. You're not going to really live life the full if you're not seeking the Heavenly Father. Give me a blessing and also give me springs of water. Amen. Ask Him, are you thirsty? Where have you been seeking to quench your thirst? Well, what has kept you from going to Christ and drinking of Him, the living water? Amen. Why are you continuing to drink from broken cisterns? Why do you not cry out to Him, give me springs of water? Have you become content with the desert? You know, I'm seeing too many professing Christians out there walking around like zombies. Honestly, what kind of testimony is that for our great God? Where is your abundant life? John 10:10, I come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Where is their fullness of joy? John 15:11, these things I've spoken to you, that your joy, my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Where's your unspeakable joy? Joy unspeakable. Peter 1:18, whom have not seen you love and whom though you've not seen him, yet you believing, you rejoice in joy unspeakable and full of glory. Where's the abounding joy? Where's the joy and peace? Romans 15:13, now the God of hope fill you with joy and peace and believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Where is the love poured out in your heart? Where is the rejoicing and suffering? Oh, we don't like that one, do we? Romans 5:3. And not only, but we glory in tribulations. Why do you want to glory in tribulation? Your troubles? Why? Because you know tribulation brings you patience. Why is patience so important? Because patience brings experience. You know what? You learn. You can't do it yourself. You realize it's not in your own power. You have to learn patience. You have to learn to work. That's experience. You learn that experience. You have to wait on Him. Amen. You don't have control of everything. Oh, are you somebody who likes to have control? Guess what? He's going to teach you. You're going to have some patience. Why is patience so good? Because it brings you hope. Hope maketh not ashamed. You know why it's not ashamed? Because He always comes through. Amen. He's always there. He's going to bring you through. He's going to get you through it. He says, hope maketh not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given to us. Amen. Glory to God. That's what it brings. That's what tribulation brings in our lives. And we can rejoice in that. Amen. Other people might tell you that such a life of joy, hope, and peace, and love, it's really not possible. Not in this life. You got to wait till you get to heaven for that. What did Jesus say? John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and he shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. That life begins now, amen. It's right now. You may tell yourself, well, such a life of hope and peace and joy and peace, it just isn't possible, at least not for me. Things are all lies from the devil. The devil's lying to you. You know that? He comes to steal and destroy. That's what his job is. The devil doesn't want the children of God to seek God and Christ and abundant life, right? And the devil doesn't want the Christians like. He wants it to be drudgery. Oh, no, drudgery. Oh, that old boring Bible. That old boring church. That old boring, oh, that's just Christianity. That's just boring stuff, right? The devil wants to keep us from setting the Lord before us. keeping our eyes on Him, like we was talking about when I was talking about plowing that field. You keep your eyes straight ahead and keep it on Him. He's trying to distract you over here. He's trying to distract you this way. He's trying to get your attention so you don't stay the course where you need the course. He keeps us from abiding in Christ and casting our cares on Him. No wonder why we don't experience the fullness of joy and pleasure forevermore. The devil's all about keeping us from asking all these things that are the birthright of a child of God. The devil doesn't want us to boldly go to the throne of God at times of trouble. The devil wants us to think God doesn't care. He told you, He said He cared. He said, cast all your cares upon me. I care for you. The devil wants you, He wants to bring all these troubles on you so you think He don't care. He does, amen. The devil's all about keeping us from asking like Aska, right? He doesn't want us to come to Him and seek Him, but rather He wants us to go somewhere else. He doesn't want us to go to the Father and ask, bless me, God, and also give me waters or springs of water, amen? Give me that's what I'm supposed to ask. God wants you to ask in Him. The devil wants you to think you can satisfy your thirst somewhere else. The devil wants you to believe that lie that things aren't possible for you, right? The devil wants you to believe that you don't really need to read your Bible, to pray, to go to church, to live your life different than everybody else that's out there in the world that's living their life. The devil wants you to consider the fields out there the Lord wants you to witness in. He wants you to be distracted with everything else and fill your life with everything else except for what God has called you to do, to be an ambassador for Him, amen. Yet all these things, the life, joy, peace, and hope, and love, these are the blessings, privileges, and gifts God makes to all available to all His children. These are the things our Father wants for us. He wants you to have these things. Of course the devil doesn't want you to know that. He doesn't want you to see that. He wants to blind your mind to that. Christ is our source from all these things flow. Christ is the source of the Christian life, the Christian joy, the Christian hope, the Christian peace, the Christian love that God so longs to give us. Amen. Won't you ask Him? Oh, give me also springs of water. God, please bless me. Give me those springs of living water. Luke 11:9. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. He that seeketh findeth. He that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will you give him a stone? If you ask him a fish, will you give him a serpent? If he asks you an egg, will you give him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give unto the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? When was the last time you prayed, Heavenly Father, to guide you, to watch you, to take your prayer request, to comfort you, to empower you? See, I'm not telling you to ask for some outward sign of speaking in tongues or by the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit of God working in your life. I mean, there's some churches out there that they only know the Holy Spirit of God is working because they were able to speak in tongues or they've said something like that. But what I'm saying is we need to be seeking God in His face and asking Him to see His glory and to be filled with His fullness, amen? We should always be seeking to know Him more and more. The Holy Spirit has come to glorify Christ and to lead us in God's way and in God's truth, all so we might have a deeper fellowship with Him. God has that living water for you, for each and every one of you that's out there. Will you be like an Aska and go to Him and ask Him and say, God, bless me and give me waters and springs of water, living water. Or else I'm going to die out in a dry desert spiritually, amen. That's my prayer for each and every one of us. If you're thirsty and you're parched out there, you've been stunted and you're languishing and you're withering out there, won't you just boldly go up to God and say, God, bless me. Have mercy and grace upon me and show me what I need, amen. And if you know what, if you're out there and you're saved and you know you're doing well, come on, go take the extra step. And also, give me those springs of water, amen. That needed for the harvest out there to dry out there, that dry world. Because we're all dried out there. What do we got to give to the world? We've got to ask His springs of living water, the Holy Spirit of God working in us, so we can be able to spread that joy and peace that God has given to us out there in the world that needs it, amen? The desert's out there. And it's not getting any better, amen? There's plenty of forms of godliness like Steve talked about in Sunday school. But where's the springs of water? Not just a form of godliness, but actually the Holy Spirit of God moving in our lives and our church. We can't do it without springs of water, without springs of living water in our lives and in our church. Amen. You know, will you along with me this morning? Let's just ask God to bless us. Let's ask God to give us springs of water this morning. Let's just do that in our church. Let's ask Him to fill us. Fill this church, North Plains Baptist Church, with His Holy Spirit and God, that we can spread it out into a world that's dry and dying and needs it. Amen? Let's just take some time this morning. I'm going to ask you, some of you, just to stand up and just pray to ask God to bless us, bless our church, give us the springs of living water that we need in our lives to go out there and do the things that He wanted us to do, the things that He gave us as a child of God, the rights that we have, He's given to us. Amen? Let's take a moment to do that. I'm asking you to pray this morning.